Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also, our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Today we are going to be talking about healing and miracles and energy and the light. If you've been following this show for probably the better much of, I think, 2 years now, we've kind of touched on these topics in one way or another with many different guests and authors and a lot of healthcare practitioners, too. You know, if we all had the right answer, we'd all be doing it already, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation. So, you know, there are so many people out there. There's billions of people on this earth. Everybody's at a different level. Everybody's on a different path. Some want some things. Some don't want other things. So really what we're here to say is these are just great options, and isn't it something that's really cool, and it's something I want to look at, and it's something I might think I might want to be able to tap into. But some others may say, you know, I'm quite happy right where I am, and that's definitely fine and okay too. So my guest today is Dr. Meg Blackburn-Luzzi. She is the author of Touching the Light, What Miracles Are Made Of. And it's all about healing body, mind, and spirit. And it's definitely interesting when we talk about this today. We say that, you know, what is really a miracle? What is the light? We've spoken about scalar light energy on the show before. We've spoken about Reiki and chakras. And a lot of people have said, I get it. I kind of don't get it. Maybe just give me another point of view. So Dr. Meg is here today, and we're going to have a great other point of view from another angle, and we're sure to get some more information. Dr. Meg, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me back. I enjoy your show very much, and thanks to all of you who are listening out there.
Well, you know, don't you think that we need to keep just talking about different topics, different angles, mm-hmm. you know, different aspects, because everybody's in a different space. And that's the way it should be. We don't need to think that everybody needs to be lining up in order and we're all set to go when the gun goes off, right?
Exactly. You know, to me, it's not a competition or anything like that. Each of us has a piece of the whole puzzle. And when we put our pieces together, sometimes they start beginning to make more sense than we had realized.
Yeah, I think so many have said, I'm not quite sure where I am these days. It's been a really weird last 10 years. I don't know about you, but my last 10 years, I have no clue. You know, I mean, all the way up till 45 years, it was okay. I seemed to be going okay. And then all of a sudden, it was like something imploded. I won't even say exploded. I say imploded. It was just everything just went away, and I think that was how you started out your book, was telling your story. Would you like to share with the listeners how that even started?
Yeah, you know, I'll give you the short version because we don't have all day, but I thought that I was very successful. I had a big house, an expensive car, had everything was going right, you know, and so I thought. And over a 2-week period, everything fell apart. Home, love, business, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sleeping on my friend's couch because I didn't feel safe to go home. And I was working out of my car because my business partners had realized what a business plan I had created and pushed me out the door. And, I mean, it was just one thing after another. And mm-hmm. I woke up in tears on my friend's couch one morning. Everybody had gone to work, and it was just me. And I don't even know why I was crying. It doesn't matter. But what I said to myself was, well, self, here we are. Everything you knew to be true, to be what you created, what you believed in yourself, has died. It's mm-hmm. not true. Let's look at this from the perspective that it's not everyone else's fault, but let me look at it from the point of view where it's just me having an experience and see what that looks like. So I looked at everything, and I realized two things very quickly. First of all, I did not like myself very much. And the reason was that I was living according to what I thought everyone else wanted me to be. I was trying to belong, trying to fit, trying to feel loved, trying to feel accepted and successful, and I was doing it by everyone else's standards. Well, I've come to find out since then that when you don't live truth, it will eventually come apart.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot work if it's not true. And so what I started doing was telling myself the truth. Okay, no matter what it is, what it's about, who it's about, anything like that, I'm just going to tell myself the truth. Wow, you don't realize how many times a day you BS yourself until you start looking for when you're doing it.
Yeah.
What I did was, first of all, got over the shock of my own self, and then I gave myself a different message. Because, you know, all through the day we do things like, oh, they didn't really mean what they said, or he didn't really mean to hit me, or,
yeah.
you know, whatever the situation is. Yes, that was true. But we tell ourselves it wasn't because we're afraid of what happened if we, you know, raise up about it. And so
yeah.
on that quest of learning to tell myself the truth, I started to apply it outwardly. And as I did, I was able to do it from an unprotected place. I had lessened my defenses. I had let go of them. I was completely humble by then. And I just spoke the truth with my heart and didn't cringe. I just let things be what they would. And interestingly, as I did that, a couple of things happened. First of all, life started to change very dramatically, and I started to attract different people in my life. And secondly, my intuitive nature, because I was no longer stiff and protected, you know, emotionally, blew
mm-hmm.
wide open. I call it my series of cosmic 2x4s. And that took, I had no one to talk to. I mean, I lived alone on a mountain in North Carolina, and I was going through all of these vast changes, and I had all of this energy building up in me, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I couldn't find the go button to release it. You know, I just thought I would explode. And one morning, just out of desperation, I had some music on, and I got up, and I started to move, and I started to follow the energy rather than trying to make it something. And as I did, I started to see it all of a sudden, and then I started to see it in color. And I remember, I'm such a spiritual smart aleck, you know. I said, so, this is gorgeous. What good does it do? I still feel the same. And
mm-hmm.
I kept saying, someone show me what to do. And
right.
so ultimately, every day I did this religiously. Every single day I moved with the music to try and keep the energy flowing rather than backing up. And I was desperately saying, someone show me what to do. I know there's more. And all of a sudden there was this being. He was beautiful. He was in the middle of my living room and just shining. He was just emitting light. And, of course, as he popped in, I got so startled that I backed up about 10 feet and he disappeared.
Oh,
and I
goodness.
Said, oh, my God, Sorry?
Mm-hmm.
I recognized immediately partly what had happened was I had gotten out of what I call my zone. I had gotten in my mind. So I quickly centered myself, and there he was, patiently waiting. And I did not realize the immensity of that moment, among other reasons for it, for about 3 years until I was telling an audience about that experience. And I realized that he hadn't gone anywhere. I had. As soon as I got into attention, into mentality, I closed the door and the connection was gone. As soon as I relaxed, I shut down my mind, quieted it, stopped worrying about what the questions were. Let's just see what's going on here. That's when I was able to actually start to interact. And this amazing being showed me what I had been doing with the energy following it, and it was doing different very cool things. And he actually showed me how to stop and how to notice different changes and how to change form and color and frequency. And this went on for I don't even know how long. And I got a series of these guys, and they would teach me things that I had no idea what they were related to. Until later, they all started to come together. And one of the things that they were teaching me was how energy works in the physical body and in the etheric anatomy. And how, if we're able to understand and locate problems, we can change the overall, not just the physical health of someone, but their holistic being, you know, everything about life. Because what I realized is that when certain parts of the etheric anatomy get dysfunctional, life starts reflecting it in very negative ways. And there are ways that you can kind of clean that up, as I call it, that gives the person more resources to work from. Whenever there's a dysfunction in the field, it either impedes or restricts or completely stops the flow of energy and communication throughout our system and the regeneration of energy. Our system is in constant evolution. It's made of energy, and as different things happen environmentally, interdimensionally, even inside of us, we send messages to creation. Creation brings back exactly what we send out. So it's very important that we're clear and that we're intentional and aware of what we're really doing, because we're very powerful beings and we don't remember that a lot. So that's kind of how it got started. And then for a year, I charged no one. I worked full time every day and worked with people for free. And the only thing that I asked was, can I call you in 24 to 48 hours and find out what kind of changes you're experiencing? And I would call people, and I started to see patterns, and I started to realize, oh, okay, if you do this, this happens. And that's how I got real solid with it. And then over the years, I was able to gain experience to great depths and heights, and I now teach this as a year-long certification program. I had to really understand what the heck was happening before I was willing to put it out there to other people, because that's really important to me. I want to be legitimate with what I'm teaching, and so I do it from the human perspective. Yep, I'm weird, and that's okay. My motto is weird is wonderful. And, you know, in the process of all of that, I started seeing inside of bodies. I can even see a calorie fire. I can locate DNA that's dysfunctional. I can locate DNA and look at it and look for mutations. I mean, I don't even understand what I see, but I have a lot of doctor friends that we swap information. I help them with their spiritual stuff, and they help me understand the medical stuff. So it's a brilliant combination of friendships and working together. And because the truth is that modern medicine, I'm just going to give it a broad term, does not understand for the most part or even acknowledge the subtle energy system. We have an entire etheric anatomy that is absolutely brilliantly beautiful, and it is so perfectly functioning as long as there's no dysfunction present. And just living, we can pick up dysfunctions, you know, interruptions, static in our field. You know, for instance, if we go in for surgery, there's a lot of electromagnetic energy, and we're anesthetized, so we're not quite in our bodies during the surgery. So our bodies are vulnerable, and our fields pick up these really interesting crisscross patterns or zigzag patterns from the electromagnetics. And if you get to someone that's had surgery right afterwards or even during surgery, you can prevent those kinds of damage from happening, and the person will heal very quickly. I mean, there's so many ways that having a good comprehension of the etheric anatomy, how it works, what it does, and in conjunction with the physical, is they're so complementary to each other. I am pro-medicine, although I really have to say that that my general experience with the medical arts lately has been horrendous. And I actually am teaching a number of physicians about this aspect of our being, and they're taking it to work and applying it and having amazing results, because they're learning how to read the body before they even go in the room. They can't help it, because what I teach them triggers that part of them. And so they're able to diagnose more efficiently. They don't waste people's money on testing for things they don't know what they're looking for. And they're being very accurate. So there's a lot of good on both ends of this, you know. And I never, ever propose that I'm a medical doctor. I'm a PhD. I'm not a physician. But I have a lot of years of experience, which is where I get a lot of the knowing, and I've had people teaching me along the way. So just to keep it honest, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that say they do things and they're not. And I've always been cutting edge, and in my heart, I want it to be honest and effective. And so that's the way I teach it, that's the way I speak it, and that's the way I live it.
I think sometimes, too, right now, that traditional medicine is really, it's had three legs knocked out from under it, and I think it's really holding on for dear life with that other leg. But then you also look at, you know, because then they're starting to claim that this is what people have to do, this is the way it's going to be done, and using drugs and fear to control that venue. But then also you look at the alternative side, you know, alternative medicine. Are supplements and vitamins and herbs and all this stuff, you know, always do you have to come in with that same mentality as a patient and say, you know, fix this thing, I want something on my way out, and it's still going to take care of it. When all in reality, energy, the type work you do, the type alternative healthcare, and the type traditional healthcare, all of these are really should be working, you know, together in some sort of paradigm, because that's really what healing is all about. It's not just, you know, in my wheelhouse, you're only going to find it here. You're going to find it in different venues, but they all work together. I mean, it's not like
greatest desire.
It's even how the traditional doctors still think in their same mind. You know, when you have a headache, you go to the headache doctor. You know, if your foot hurts, go see a podiatrist. Heart, you better go to cardiology. So they're still into that compartmentalizing type ideas. You know, we're alternative. Granted, we look at the body and everything, but we still, you know, some practitioners do talk about spirit and energy and do some of that healing. However, bringing all of that together is so... if you took each one of those tiers, it's very time-consuming. I mean, you can't have a patient in your wheelhouse for, you know, 10 hours a day, 5 days a week for 2 weeks to be able to do what potentially might need to be done. So it's really also about the person learning these things and doing them on their own, which is really what it's mostly about. We, you know, as practitioners, if you could think of yourself as, I can see the window. I can open the window. I can let the light shine in, but it's time for you to give yourself water. It's time to feed yourself. It's time to stand up straight. It's time to move a little bit farther. And that's really your part of participation in this. And then shake it all out and see where you're at, and then keep moving forward. And if you need a little bit more light or a little bit more door width, let us know. And I think, I guess
right.
I see that. I see that so simplistically in my mind that sometimes
I get
even,
it.
You know, you say it in your book, you know, it's hard to put in words. And it's like, mine is so simple, I just don't understand why they can't get it, you know.
Well, the deal is that we can do as much as is given. And I
right.
say that because for everyone, it's different. And we're
right.
not putting Band-Aids. We have the ability
mm-hmm.
to truly heal people. I've seen it too many times. And the issue is that we are, as a human nature, are so, we're so conditioned to take another aspirin, I need another doctor's
right.
appointment. When people look at me and they say, when do I come back? And I say, well, that's entirely up to you. They're stumped.
Right. Yes.
And I tell them, you know, this work continues for days and weeks and even months. And so, if you feel like things are going better and everything's great, then you don't need me anymore. And if you feel like you got to a certain point and you plateaued or you started to backslide, okay, there's more for us to do. Let's work then. You tell me. And so I'm all about empowering people rather than making them victims of the corporate mentality. Because everywhere you go, there are so many drug ads.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the message is that if you don't do these things, you're not okay.
Right.
And there's so many messages that we're sick or we're broken or something, and we're silently being fed GMOs and things are going in the
mm-hmm.
vaccines that, you know, there's so many things that are being done under the carpet, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
that the whole thing is monstrous. So what I say is we need to get back to the basics. I actually have a plan for this. I don't have the money, but I have an amazing plan, and I have the people in place that will put us all together. And it will also work as an ongoing study of how the contribution of working with the etheric anatomy contributes to real healing, not just a Band-Aid for a week or two. Because you don't just treat where it hurts. Where it hurts is a symptom. So,
right.
you know, and you've got to balance everything before you can fix that one thing. I always tell my students, do the physical last. It's the most dense. Take care of everything else, and then when you fix the physical, it will stick, so to speak. That's how I say it. And it really does work better. I learned a lot early on because I got some weird cases. I got ones people didn't know what to do with or weren't showing up anything on medical testing or anything, but their problems were very real.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize, whoa, wait a minute. I'm looking around in the etheric anatomy and finding things and cleaning them up, and all of a sudden the problems are gone, you know, and
right.
I started to realize, wait a minute, there is so much more to this. And now, nearly 20 years later, I am blown away by what I'm able to see and how people can help themselves. But if they're not receptive to it, if they cannot believe 100% in what's being done, whether it's in your world, my world, in some other doctor's world, they will not get better. They will not get better until they accept that they can and that they are responsible toward
mm-hmm.
toward putting that, you know, that positive nature into their healing. Sometimes we just aren't meant to heal, but the majority of times are that we can. I am a survivor. I had stage 3 breast cancer. I've just started my 13th year. And it was the size of my fist, and it had grown down to 1 millimeter from my chest wall. And I'm still here, and I'm still going strong. And it's because I figured out what made me sick, and I went about changing those things in my life, and I live them and breathe them every day. And I don't even think about that. It's just I only brought it up because you and I had talked about that
right.
previously. And I want you to know, they nearly killed me. I went in for the first couple of chemo treatments, and they were hitting it hard because it was so advanced, and it had grown down so I couldn't feel it. I did check normally, and it was a weird situation. And they hit me so hard so fast with the chemo drugs that I nearly died, and I was in getting a blood transfusion, and I looked at my husband. I said, I know different. And I need to tell you that from this moment forward, I'm going to do this my way. And I hope you're okay with that. He said, whatever you want. And I said, well, then I want to live. And I got up off of that table, and I did not go back to any of them. Turns out, I did get follow-ups just because I'm not stupid. I did get follow-ups for several years, and we lived in a different state by then. And the doc said, you know, you need to just quit coming because all you do is you come and I tell you how perfect you are, and I can't see spending your money or taking your money. And I said, well, that's great because we have to move back to where it all happened. And he said, do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. He said, you walk yourself back in that office and you introduce yourself. Because he got me in September of 03. And he said that those people told him I would be dead within 3 months. I'm 13 years and I'm kicking butt. So we can do it, but we have to believe
right.
it. We have to know it, and we have to know ourselves to understand what's going on. And it's
but
not
also
always...
they have to be worthy of it. A lot of people don't feel that they're worthy of that or they don't understand that. And I think that's a lot of the abuse issues now that you see, the domestic abuse going on, a lot
yeah.
of the victimization, oh, my doctor didn't fix me, and so, or they walk into the physician. I mean, they come to me and they'll say, you know, my doctor can't fix me anymore, and I have a week left. Here you go. And it's like, really? You know, and, you know, you have to really go down and hit it hard. And say, what is it you're really looking for? When you really come to the fourth day, really what they're looking for is they'll say either, my heart is broken, I don't want to leave yet, or I'm sad to leave, or I'm angry with what I did with my life, or whatever that might be. And that's what your healing is. Your healing is
yeah.
not always about rescuing. I think that we really should focus on that for a second, because when people come in to any practitioner, and they say, fix me, they believe in their mind, just like the things on television or in the movies, that they're going to be reverted all the way back to a healthy body that will never hurt, everything runs great, and no matter what they do in their life, no matter where they encounter things, no matter how they interact with the outside world or what they breathe in, suck in, put on their skins, take into their body, or even think, is going to affect them, so you're just going to keep putting them back to normal. It's sort of like, well, you know, when you crash your car, you just turn around and buy a new one, and it's like the answer is really doctors are not about giving you a new car every time you walk in just because you have insurance or because you hit the wall or because you're
right.
crashing and burning. You know, that mentality is really the basis and the core where we have to really look at.
I actually have a role in my practice. If I see people 3 times and there is no change in any way, whether it's attitude or physical or life changes or whatever, it's infinite what can happen. If they do not start to respond within 3 sessions, because what I do, I know, could fix them immediately in most cases. And so if they're not responding and they're coming back with the same complaints, the same whatevers, I sit them down and I have a talk with them. And I tell them, I am not a Band-Aid. Do you want to be well? Then let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, or if perhaps you need something different, I can refer you to someone who you believe can help you, because
mm-hmm.
we're not getting anywhere, and my entire being is here to give your entire being exactly what you're asking for, but you're not doing your part. And I'm
right.
very clear about that. And if they still don't get it, I fire them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do. It's
and,
not about
you know,
the money
that's
for
difficult.
Me. It's about the reality of how powerfully healthy we can be.
But a lot of healthcare providers, I mean, as I am, it's a little more difficult to be able to fire a client, you know.
I know.
You know,
regular practitioners in a weird profession.
Yeah, I mean, we really have to have something very valid, and I'll tell you, it's even harder for people that accept insurance to be able to do that because you really can't fire someone. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, while there are things out there that say you can, it's really, it turns into a nightmare. But really the biggest thing I think is if you really look at people and you say, what is it you're really looking for? And they'll say,
that's
for my foot.
That's exactly where the way I start, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's they'll say, my foot hurts. And I'll say, what are you looking for? And they'll say, my foot not to hurt. And then I push them further. What do you mean? What would change differently if you did that? If your foot didn't hurt, what would you be able to do today? Well, I'd be able to go out to lunch with my daughter. Okay, so we'll work on, you know, how would that going out to lunch with your daughter have make you feel? It would make me feel like I was able to still get out and I wouldn't be sitting home in the chair. You know, so you go around this circle, but you keep pushing them because there's always something under there. And then really mm-hmm. sometimes it comes up that I wouldn't feel alone. And maybe the loneliness is more what was the biggest deal, not really the foot, you know. You know, by
yeah,
going out with your daughter, you wouldn't feel alone. So it's kind of like a really big combined circle of all of these entities in our life that we really touch on, it's just we look at, hey, my foot's hurting, and it's not really the only core issue.
That's true. That's true. And for me, every part of the body is relative to something. For instance, I'll use your foot analogy. The foot is all about stepping forward into something new. So the first thing I would say is, what's coming up for you that you can't decide, or you're scared, or you don't know enough, you're resisting? You know, what kind of change are you standing in front of? There, you know, it depends on where on the body things are happening, but I always ask them, and we can pinpoint it really quickly that way. It's quite fascinating when you start getting to it. When I was so sick, and believe me, I was so sick, I decided I had to do it my way. What I did was I went inside as deep as I could possibly go, and that was pretty darn deep. And I looked at what was going on, what are my emotions, what are my feelings, because I happen to know that cancer is well related to grief, unresolved grief. And grief can be related to a lot of things. Things that didn't happen, things that did, things you wish they would have, you know, people
right.
pass, friends pass away or leave or whatever. So I started looking at myself, and what I realized was that I had worked so well, so hard to become a healthy, happy human being. And then when all of my abilities came crashing in, and boy, did they, and word got out that I was able to do all these things, for me it became kind of a messianic thing. People would call me 24/7. If I didn't answer my door, they built altars on my
right.
porch. I mean, it was really hard for me. I'm a human
mm-hmm.
being, and they were trying to make me something I can't be. And what I got to really was that I had gotten lost in all of the magnificence of finding me. I had lost the humanity of myself. And so what I did, and the reason I'm still here, is I set boundaries. And when I said no, I meant it. And when I said yes, I meant it. And I created a schedule that I can live with. And if it's a true emergency, I will get people help. Otherwise, I'll see them next Tuesday, or in my case, I usually have a really long wait. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll refer them to somebody that can help them if I can't get to them. But I reworked how it, because it was driving me again. I wasn't in charge of my own experience. And once I got that peace, I started healing like crazy. It was unbelievable how much stronger I got, and just everything. And never has it come back, ever.
And so many choose to allow their power to go somewhere else, and they don't really understand what that means. And sometimes people don't even understand that they have power or that they are made of energy. When you think about a room, you know, when you walk into the room and you're a really boisterous person, you're a little bit of an aggressor or something, you walk into the room, immediately people can sense that if they're attuned to that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people gravitate towards it because they want that power to be drawn into them to give them, you know, feed whatever it might be for them. So there's so many different variables on that about how energy, how you feed it. And, you know, I always like to say this, you know, when a baby is born, everybody's rushing into the room. They can't wait to get in there to see them, to smell them, to touch them and look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's all smiles and everything. Yet when, you know, when someone is, you know, at the moment of death, everybody's out in the hallway. They're like, let me know when it happens. No one's in there. You know, the room
mm-hmm.
is dark, it's gloomy, and it's a vacant energy. And you wonder why that is. You know, I think it should be equally the same. You know, a hospital here, they play music when a baby is born. I says, what do you do when someone passes on? The woman thought I was crazy. And
oh
I just
gosh.
Thought there should
yeah.
be little twinkle sounds. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm the just as naive person, but I'm like, well, my goodness, you know, can't we just say that they went with the angels and play a twinkle sound? It was like, you know, validate them too. You know, we don't
well,
validate
music
everybody.
While they're in hospice, you know, a lot of people do
right.
that. And it's
yeah.
a beautiful thing to watch someone cross over. I've walked many across. There's only a certain distance that we're allowed to go that we're still here on the planet. And I walked many a person across and assisted them to the other side. And it's a beautiful thing. It's wondrous. It's magical. It's, you know, they see people that had passed before them. They see people that they may not have known this life, but in other times. And they have a whole series of experiences they go through. But we have such an unknown regarding death and if it's the end or if there's something more
mm-hmm.
because of all of our religious teachings, we don't
right.
really know how to feel. Interestingly, people have studied belief systems around passing and near-death experiences. And what they found is that people's beliefs had a lot to do with what they experienced when they left, when they went to the other side. They saw what they believed they would see. People that didn't have any specific beliefs had different experiences. All good,
right.
all interesting. Yeah.
And so let's talk for a second about fragmentation. I know myself, you know, with your story, it can so resonate with mine, except mine was a little bit longer, because I always believed the world was good. And like I said, I must live in a naive concept of everything. I'm like, well, I don't get that. Why is it not okay? You know what I mean? I just always think that way. I've always been that way. But, you know, in my life, I've had horrendous situations over my 58 years, terrible ones. But I would still keep saying, it's going to be okay. Or I would smile or I would like whatever and just keep going until, you know, I had a huge hit. It was 10 years ago this August. And I'll tell you, talk about taking you to your knees. It was like, I don't think I got out of bed for like 6 months. It was pretty
wow.
wicked. And because, you know, the hurricane, what the medical board had said about my profession, you know, I moved to an area that maybe I shouldn't have, you know, all of these different things. And it came so crashing down that, you know, we talk about fragmentation, and I firmly believe that that's what that was. And even now, it's 10 years, and it's taken a long time to put that back together. So for people
mm-hmm.
to understand, too, it's not you don't always click your finger and life is hunky-dory just because you had this huge, oh, you know, the light shined on me and I'm good to go. It's about work, too. It's about doing things, about being present, and going through things that you might still have to do, right? It's not just, you can't just say, everyone that walks in, hey, you know, everything's hunky-dory from here out. You're going to be rich. You're going to have a house. You're going to have your kids. You'll never get sick. And look at that great job on the horizon. And you're going, what the heck? That's not going to happen,
yeah.
people.
yeah. Yeah. You know, we've really got to have an idea of what we're doing. I think what I find, Dr. Jeanette, is that most people are living, but they don't really know where they're going with it.
Right.
They're just trying to keep up. And
yeah.
So what I tell people is be intentional. Pay attention. Be now. Don't worry about later. What's done is done. Nothing
yeah.
can ever possibly happen outside of now. Ever.
Right.
And if you can keep yourself present, then you catch the signs that take you somewhere else, somewhere else, somewhere else, till you get to your ultimate goal. And if you've created it, you believe it with all your heart, and you've truly let it go, there will be a point in time where that reality and you intersect, and it will be beyond perfect. But we have been taught to be disempowered. We have not been taught to be empowered. And no matter what kind of medicine we're talking about, if someone isn't empowered, they're going to be more difficult to help, you know, than someone who's empowered and says, yes, this is what I want. I'm going to do this. And then they start to feel better. So it's just that we've become a lot of followers. And not a lot of, we don't ask a lot of questions. We just say, well, they're the expert, whatever. And it's really weird. I think that my observation is that the regular medical industry is going through some strange times right now, and that there are going to have to be changes in order for any of it to maintain or do what it says it does. And that's going to require some shaking up, and we're going to start seeing this as more and more of these drugs that are put on the market, for instance, way too early because the studies were paid by the pharmaceutical companies, and they put them out on the market, and, well, within a year you're seeing law ads. Did you take this drug? Did someone die? Nobody's got a handle. It is out of control. And at the same time, they changed the drug laws because so many people were abusing them, and people that really need medication because of their degree of pain can't get it.
Yeah.
And if they get it at all, they're treated like criminals and grilled in, before they're even able to get what they need, and they're made to feel like something's wrong that they're doing that. And that's not what, you know, first they passed laws that said, oh, you guys need to give people more pain medicine. People are in a lot of pain. So they wrote them a lot of prescriptions. And then that became too many people are abusing, too many people are addicted. Now you can't do it at all, or you have to go to a pain clinic. And then the pain clinics say, oh, well, we'll do these massively expensive injections for you, but we don't manage medication at all. And it's just gotten to be so confusing for the average consumer that needs some medical help, and so compartmentalized, as you said, you don't even know where to start, and that's
right.
If someone will even call you back.
Yeah,
so
that's what I started doing with my, I have my patient advocate, the number two, and that's what I
mm-hmm.
started to do is just help people, you know, stop and tell me where you are, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's almost like putting little lanterns along the pathway as they choose. You know,
mm-hmm.
to be able to see down that pathway because it's so darn confusing anymore. I mean, now the biggest thing is going to be outcomes. They have to have positive outcomes or they don't get paid. And what is the positive
mm-hmm.
outcome? It's a survey on the way out of the patient saying, was I happy with this, that, or the other? And I look at it and I say, I don't give a hoot what is in your waiting room or if your service girl was nice. I'm looking in there for my what I'm going in there for. Yet all
mm-hmm.
of these things are going to be weighed. And even there's a very huge hospital chain, and they wrote the brand new wellness and primary care. So I went into the offices and I said, oh, gosh, I said, this is really cool. What have you changed that's different from a regular primary care? You know what they said? It's just all about the furniture.
Yeah, shit.
All they did was change the furniture. She said it's the Taj Mahal, but it's the same paradigm.
Yeah,
Yeah, and it's and people for them to look to say, you know, it's really about look where you are, see that you have choices, and then maybe filter your way through those choices, you know. and say that there are other options, because there definitely are options all the way across the board. I mean, the world is not just black and white. Even physicians will tell you, you know, oh, yeah, I was sick. Well, where did you go get help? You think they're going to tell you? You're crazy, you know? They're not going to tell you. So.
Well, I think that the time is coming when we're going to be coming together. I'm planning to start to speak to groups of medical professionals, and I have some pretty good ends to do that. And I want people to know that not only do they have options, but there are parts that can be put together that are incredible, because emotions wrap around an injury or an illness.
Right.
And they make it very hard to reach energetically. And at the same time, something like cancer or some other illness becomes the identity. And once it's gotten to that place, it's very difficult. Yeah. It can be done, but it's very difficult to make that stop, so to speak. And so... I'm all about empowering people and telling them, look, this is happening to you. You didn't cause this. Because a lot of people on a metaphysical level say, oh, well, I must have done something that I'm getting punished for. You know, that's all religious dogma, just in a different heading. And I say, no, we live in a biological entity that is our body, and it is subject to inhabitation and infestation. And meaning viruses, bacteria, fungus, whatever, parasites, all of those things can happen. And we are also predisposed in certain situations genetically. And so instead of becoming a victim, embrace that, oh, this is happening, okay, let's work through it. And then it doesn't become the common failure. It becomes a common pursuit of something different, you know.
Right. Of the same old thing.
Right. And I have something I would like permission from you just for a minute to get on my soapbox about.
Good. Great.
Supplements. Listen, guys, read the labels. Know what you're doing. Because supplements are phenomenal. I use them every day. I have a drawer full. It's part of why I'm still here, because I keep myself healthy as possible. But you have to be careful that you're not putting too much of something in, that your supplements are not overlapping, or that you're taking something just because somebody said it was good. I know someone who died recently who would not listen to me about that. I said, tell me everything you're taking. And she did, and I said, and what, if I didn't recognize them, I said, what's in that? I said, now, look at your other bottle. See what's in there. Oh, my gosh, that's right. Throw it away. And she kept adding more, though. She would look for supplements. And a lot of people do that, and they avoid the medical doctors. And that's the other piece of the soapbox I want to get on. Look, I've seen too many people die that don't get the help they need, that a simple antibiotic could have saved their life, you know, from a toothache going into a brain infection or a minor respiratory infection becoming pneumonia. And I can't even tell you how many times I've seen people, oh, I can do this. You know what? I'm living proof that's possible. But it takes a certain amount of determination, of concreteness of determination. And it's difficult to hold that level of mastery when you feel bad. And so it really comes down to take care of yourself. It's okay if you go to the doctor. Doctors have good tools too. And people like me, we have good tools, too. And if I see something and it's medical, I refer to medical people. I don't try to be the end-all and be-all. I do what I know is given. And I think that if we could all work together that way, you know, I've over the years developed quite a network of referrals from OBGYN oncologists to psychologists and everything in between. And it's been phenomenal, the work we've been able to do behind the scenes quietly. You know, I'd get a phone call. I'd be in an area and I'd get a phone call. Hey, I've got someone. They don't have any money, but this is going on. Can you see what you can do? Change lives just because they got a chance. So if we remember that these are souls in our hands and that this may be the only time we ever get to touch them, how much can I give them and how much can they take with them from this experience? Treat everyone
Absolutely.
As if it's, yep, treat everyone as if it's the first time and the only time you will ever be able to touch them. And that way, you always have curiosity, you always have love in your heart, and you always have the potential to look for something new or different or new and improved. So it's all about how we go into it. You know, I call what I do, I call touching the light a vast contribution to the changing future of medicine, because I see that there is a time coming where we will all work together and we will do so in similar places or as referrals or whatever. But just like, you know, I hate to make this comparison, but just like marijuana and gay marriage, it's about changing public belief systems in a way that there's no stigma anymore. And when you work in alternative medicine, there's always a stigma, there's always disbelievers. But if you got a doctor shingle over your door, man, people want to believe every word you say. People believe what I tell them because they know I know what I'm doing, but you know what I'm saying? There's a lot that don't know what they're
right.
doing. And so there's a responsibility with that as well. But I feel like there's so much beautiful work that can be done if we could just, if modern medicine, I don't know what else to call it, would just consider the fact that we have a subtle energy system that is electromagnetic in nature and subject to conductive materials and environmental wastes. Because those conductive materials, for instance, there for a long time, they were putting mercury in vaccines as a carrier. We talked about this on another show, and I just want to say that when you don't understand what you're dealing with and you're doing it by the book, and you put something like this in the name of healing into a small child's body, and that mercury is conductive and it expands the energy system to the point where the consciousness is no longer firmly seated in the body, that is abusive and just not okay. And all it would take is a little bit of broader thinking, a bit of more awareness, and an understanding that, wait a minute, there is so much more to us than we see. And how are those parts affecting the entirety? One of the questions I ask people when they come to see me is not, I never say, where does it hurt or what's wrong. What I say is, if your life could change from this moment forward and be anything you want it to be, what would be different from now? And you'd be amazed at how many people can't answer that question, at all. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because they're so in their beliefs and their stories. And I make them aware and I keep them aware and I make them responsible and I keep them responsible from the time they walk through my door. It's their journey and I give them homework. Okay, these are the patterns I found. You have a typical pattern of sabotaging yourself. And you mentioned fragmentation, and I never answered you. Fragmentation is from severe trauma or something like PTSD. And it can be fixed. It can be assimilated back together. But you've got to know what you're doing. It's not, you know, people call it soul fragmentation. It's more than that. And fragmentation can be assimilated. And once it's assimilated, then you have to know what to do to make it operational in a normal fashion. And it's quite easy. But fragmentation is very real, and it makes people seem airheaded, or they're real up and down emotionally or physically, or they can't make a decision to save their soul. They can't focus on things. Those are just a few symptoms of fragmentation. There are a lot of them. I actually learned about PTSD. I was in Mexico, and I had brought a group, and some other people had a group there, and we were out in the yard, and this Vietnam vet was really having bad PTSD issues, and it was a fiesta. Well, it's always a fiesta in Mexico. It's fun there. But during those fiestas, they blow off these huge, you know, we talk about M80s. These are like two or three times that big. And they put them in big cans so that the boom is extreme. And right. They started lighting a bunch of these off, and I had just wrapped around my arms around this guy to give him a hug. And one of those exploded, and I actually got to feel and see what happened to him. And what happened to him was, when the memory of the trauma came back, his system went to that moment, it dispersed, and then it slammed back together, and it wasn't organized. So it was never to move. It was never able to move past the event that caused the PTSD. And so I started working with a lot of Iraqi vets, a lot of the Desert Storm guys, and helping them through the PTSD by reassimilating them. And it gave them more wherewithal to work through the emotional piece. It's amazing what parts of our energy field can do to contribute to how life's going.
Absolutely, but it needs to be all together and working for the greater good to not just be able to be there and be in chaos. Because sometimes that chaos will just consist, and it can be over people's whole entire lives if they just can't get a handle on it. So I really think that was, you know, your book is a great start. The book is Touching the Light, and for someone to read, to be able to say, maybe there is something of this, or maybe I need to start looking at something else, and I think that's a great start.
Yeah, thank you. I just really wanted people to understand that there's so much more to us.
Right.
When I teach that, it's much deeper. But the book is a kind of a basic, here's how it all works. And and here's how you
start.
Can kind of, I have a mission. I have a serious mission, and we'll see what happens. But mostly it's about, you know, remember to ask questions if you have medical issues, or take a second pair of ears with you. A lot of times when they're so fast, there's so much going on, something will be said that you didn't understand or didn't hear that somebody else might hear and help you with later. There are a lot of things you can do to protect yourself and get the help you need. But first of all, don't feel insignificant or secondary when you walk in the office. Instead, stay in your power and get what you need. And if you don't, then go somewhere else and get that. But do what your medical personnel tell you as well, because if you don't, then why are you even bothering? You know, it's our responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Meg, we went right through this hour. It was a pleasure to have you with us today. Could you share with the listeners more information about finding you and your website? That would be wonderful.
Yeah, it's really easy. Thanks, Dr. Jeanette. It's my main website is spiritlight.one. .com. That's spirit, SPIRITLITE, the number one. My website about the Touching the Light certification course, which starts in March, I'm registering now, is Touching the Light, spelled the regular way, LIGHT.org. And everything about the program's up there. I don't hide anything. What you see is what's for real. And I would love to have you in class. I teach in Atlanta. I also have multiple levels. I have level 2 and instructors. And I also do it concurrently online, so there's no reason to not be there if you want to.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure to have you, and thank you so much. You know, I think this is really wonderful, what you're doing, and, you know, in our senses, in our mind, I think we've all kind of imagined something like this. We just didn't have all the pieces or know the vocabulary or actually, in other words, we saw the pencil drawings. We just, it's now starting to get colored in, and I think we'll be start seeing some pictures pretty soon, and everybody will just start playing out that which is really going to be helping us all heal.
Yeah, Touching the Light's really well illustrated, and I have some new ones since that came out. Like the anatomy of a chakra. A chakra is actually a three-dimensional thing. It's not a flat spinning disc. It has its own anatomy. Unbelievable. There's just so much, and it keeps opening up, and as we're able to learn, more things come forward. So it's going to be an exciting future for us in medicine.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Meg, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
You too, and thanks to everyone who is listening now and later.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Meg, her information is on the bottom of today's show page. There is directly the link to go right to her website. Please do check it out. And definitely, if you need to have help asking questions, having a second pair of eyes, ears, you know, something, somebody with you to hear something or somebody to see something, that is what I do on my personal advocate, the2.com. If you'd like some help, please do check out that website. Please do check out Dr. Meg's website on the bottom of today's show page. And if you'd like any further information, please do check all these websites out and let us know, and have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone, or the television remote, or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.